Well, today, North India, particularly the National Capital Region, has woken up to a scene straight out of a dystopian film, as I said. Let's bring you these images to tell you what exactly the situation was. This is actually that patch which is thick, it is dense, it is pollutant, it is a low-hanging smog. It's been there now for more than 48 hours across a large part of the Indo-Gangetic Plain. As a result of this, this morning, Delhi woke up to toxic air. In places, it was nearly at the 500 mark. Remember, clean air is approximately 50 on what the World Health Organization considers safe air. This was nearly 500. So an air quality index of 50 for PM2.5 is what is acceptable. Anything above that, not very good. We are approaching 500, we did today. That is just utterly unacceptable. People fall sick as a result of this. Our lifespans are reduced. No exaggeration there. India Gate was blanketed in a fog, and hundreds of flights were delayed as well. But let me give you a few more details of what I've been talking about. The image that you're now going to see is of a large part of the Indo-Gangetic Plain. This is another view. This comes from NASA's World View. And all of Punjab, Haryana, Delhi, stretching all the way across Uttar Pradesh, northern Uttar Pradesh, and well into Bihar, and well into parts of North Bengal. In fact, a large part of Bengal, we see this horrific, thick, toxic smoke, which has had a huge impact on visibility, but that's hardly the concern. The bigger concern, of course, is what it's doing to our lungs. All across this region, and it's been like this, and spreading for 48 hours, and the big concern is that it's not dispersing. And on this program, we're actually going to be looking at why it's not dispersing. But let's give you a few more images of what the scene was today. Let's bring the next image and give you a compare and contrast. What you see is, and this is just, you know, one day in time, November 14, 2023, compared to today. Last year, this time of the year, it was polluted, no two ways about it. But these were largely clouds in the area that we've been talking about. This was not a dense fog by any means. A dense fog over a large area across the Indo-Gangetic Plains looks like this. And this is what we've seen across the day today and yesterday as well, as a result of which we've got these GRAP3 guidelines in the National Capital Region. We'll be talking about that as well. But let's look at what Delhi looked like, right? This was Delhi today. If you felt that these areas, which are grey, are areas where the smog lifted, well, I can tell you, even if it did, it lifted only marginally. The air pollution standards in Delhi, when one woke up, were more than 400 across the board. It stayed like that for several hours, and it remains in a critical situation, which is why you've got these new guidelines. What do those guidelines mean? Again, as I mentioned, we'll tell you in a while. But let's take a look at the states of Punjab and of Haryana as well, also parts of western Uttar Pradesh. And let's look at Pakistan, because we need to be talking about that as well. This entire region of the subcontinent has been covered by this thick, low smog. It is just not dispersed. Pakistan faces the same problem when it comes to stubble burning. I do want to make it clear that stubble burning is certainly a cause for a part of the smog, but it's not the only factor. There's a meteorological factor called a thermal inversion, which results in poor dispersal of pollutants. Certainly, if there is more pollution, which comes as a result of industries or certainly stubble burning, it adds to the pollution in the air. So this is a fog which has been enhanced with pollutants. This is a smog as a result, and it is just horrific. So that's what we are talking about. Joining us now on the program, and we've got some of the best in the world today with us, Hiren Jetwa, a research scientist who speaks to me regularly and explains to me in simple terms what it is that we are talking about. Dr. Pallavi Pant with us as well. Dr. Vivek Nangia, because at the end of the day, we need to be talking to doctors about what's taking place over here. We are joined by Nioma Gupta of the BJP and Anmol Pawar of the Aam Aadmi Party. Hiren, in simple terms, for our viewers, what is a thermal inversion?
Vishnu, yes. The thermal inversion is a phenomenon where the warmer air positioned above the cooler air at the ground, and that does not allow the vertical mixing of these pollutants. So whatever we emit at the surface, it still stays there within the, you know, first 100, 200 or 300 meters or within the boundary layer. So it, basically, the stronger the thermal inversion is, we are basically trapping the pollutants near the surface. There is no venting place for the pollutants to go up in the vertical direction. And the smoke, those images that you showed just a few minutes ago, you could have noticed that there is the smoke from the crop burning, mainly from the crop burning, is mixed with the clouds or above it. And that kind of situation further strengthens the thermal inversion because of the, you know, the absorption of the solar light. These are very light absorbing aerosols. So that further warms the upper level air, and it further increases what we call the atmospheric stability or strong thermal inversion. So that makes situation even worse, that there is no way for the pollutants to go up in the air, and whatever we emit on the surface, it still remains near the ground.
Hiren, a thermal inversion happens every year in Delhi. It happens usually in the month of December. It's happening earlier. That by itself is a cause of concern. Is it climate change related or not? But the point, my question, Hiren, is this. If a thermal inversion happens every year, then we need to ensure that pollution levels go down even more, like much more, because when a thermal inversion comes, there is no way of dispersing pollutants, right?
Yes. Yeah, and the winds are also very low during this season. So, you know, winds are about 5 meters per second or even lower. So it takes time for the meteorology to really, you know, flush these pollutants from the source region. And also, one of my colleagues a few years ago looked at the 40 years of this satellite data, meteorological data, and he claimed that the frequency of this fog occurrence has increased over IGP. That's number one. And number two, that now we are seeing more occurrence in the November. We used to see this kind of situation in December and in January, actually.
Why is that? But, why is that the case?
Right, because now we have lots of, like, plenty of this particulate matter, which acts as a what we call cloud condensation nuclei, which favors the formation of this kind of fog. And the meteorology also plays a role because the temperatures are now gradually going down, and we have enormous amount of aerosols or the solid particles which form this low-level fog. But that was a very important finding of that paper, and I also co-authored that work. And it has shown that there's more frequency of fog occurrence, and fog is occurring more earlier, now in November, and that we are seeing this year.
Okay. Dr. Vivek Nangia, let's talk about this from a health standpoint. Before I do that, I just want to bring up that one graphic we had on if you are exposed for several hours to this pollution, what is the equivalent of smoking cigarettes? Let's bring that up, if we can, for just a moment. Right? Let's have that up full screen. And then I'll get Dr. Nangia to come in on this. Now, at the PM 2.5 levels that we are now seeing, right, it is the equivalent of smoking 20 cigarettes a day. Now, it's not adults who smoke 20 cigarettes a day, not that that is good or acceptable in any way. It's children, infants, babies, the elderly, the infirm, who are also smoking the equivalent of 20 cigarettes a day if the air pollution is between 400 and 500, right? Think about that for a moment. This is what the impact is. So therefore, Dr. Nangia, what is it in our system which is being worst impacted? Is it just our lungs or what else?
So Vishnu, I think this is a no-brainer that air pollution has been labeled as the single most hazardous environmental risk factor to our health. And we've known this since the early 1950s when we had the first London smog. You know, if you see the pictures of the London smog then, I think what we're seeing now is almost very, very similar. And in those 3 days when in 1952 there was the London smog, there were about 4,000 deaths, which subsequently the number rose to about 12,000, and about a lack of people being unwell because of the air pollution. When you look at the pollutants in the air, now this number has only been rising. So there are two parts to it. One is the particulate matter, which is measured in microns, and the other are the toxic gases. When it's a large particulate matter, like 10 microns, 5 microns and above, they usually result in all this irritation in the eyes, nasal congestion, sneezing, sore throat, some bit of coughing in the upper airways. But the smaller particles, the 2.5 and the smaller particle, they actually go right inside the lungs, get absorbed into the bloodstream along with the toxic gases like your sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, ozone, ammonia, so on and so forth, which then result in an inflammatory cascade inside the body. This inflammatory cascade is not restricted only to the lungs, but the entire body. So as a result, it could result in brain strokes, brain attacks, heart arrhythmias, various types of cancers, and of course, a decreased life expectancy. If we look at the lungs alone, it could result in asthma, COPD, hypersensitivity pneumonitis, which is a new kind of a disease that is known, of course. And then, of course, lung cancer. You know, earlier we would label lung cancer to be a smoker's cancer. But now we're seeing it very often in young ladies as well who have never smoked but just been exposed to the air pollution.
Just, Dr. Nangia, just in your own experience, a rough number, what percentage rise in patients have you seen over, let's say, the last 1 month compared to normal?
See, it's very difficult to say whether this is exclusively to air pollution or to the viral infection, because at this time is the air, the viral infection that crop up, the allergies that crop up, and of course, air pollution worsens all these. So if you compare the numbers in the OPD from, say, about early October to now, there would definitely be a 15-20% rise in the numbers. And this happens every year practically.
It happens later though, doesn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Dr. Pallavi Pant, I ask this question every time I discuss this because I think this is the key point. Maybe if we discussed this 10 years back, you know, the data would suggest that people die of heart attacks, people die of strokes, people die of all sorts of ailments. But now there is substantive data which shows that people die of air pollution. That link is absolutely clear. So in terms of studies around the world, what is the link, the statistical link? Could you give us examples between air pollution and mortality?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking this question. And, you know, just sort of building on what Dr. Nangia just said, we have seen evidence not just in India now, but around the world that air pollution is not only increasing our risk of experiencing these diseases, both in children and adults, but also increasing the risk of death or mortality. And according to some studies that have been done in the last few years, in countries that have relatively cleaner air that are perhaps not experiencing levels as high as 400 or 500, we see effects as low as 10 or 5 micrograms of PM2.5 as well. So essentially what the science is now telling us that yes, very strong linkage between exposure to air pollution and an increased risk of dying because of it, and that this risk is not necessarily connected to a particular threshold, that even at very low levels, we are seeing these effects on people. And I think in the Indian context, what is useful to add is that a lot of our population already is living with chronic diseases, diabetes, heart disease, lung diseases. So exposure to air pollution consistently and over time can increase those risks, can mean higher healthcare costs, can mean caregiver burden. People might need to spend more time taking care of family members and loved ones and may not be able to work. So this really is about how it impacts an individual's health, but also how it then impacts families and society overall.
Anmol Pawar, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party. In Delhi, we've got the graded action plan, GRAP 3, which has come into effect. What does it do, and do you really think it's going to improve any of this?
Vishnuji, I would say that it's not just the national capital which is grappling with the pollution, but the entire North India is
grappling with
the pollution. I
promise you, Mr. Pawar, on this program, this is not about Delhi versus Punjab or Delhi versus Haryana or Uttar Pradesh versus Punjab. It is about the entire region. That said, I'm asking you a question because we've got a huge number of people in the NCR watching. So what I'm asking is, what does GRAP 3 do, number one, and will it really make a difference?
Vishnuji, all possible measures are being taken by Delhi government to curb the rising pollution levels. But at this point of time, a unified approach is required. Central government must take the lead because this environment knows no boundaries. The rising AQI levels in the adjoining states, whether it's Uttar Pradesh or Haryana, they have surpassed the AQI levels of Delhi. And this image which I showed just now, it's of Agra, where the visibility of the Taj Mahal is just 20 meters. And it's your own channel which has posted this image.
Well, we showed so India entire Gate as well region, with zero visibility today. So it's the same across
entire
the region.
Entire region faces this deteriorating air quality and it's affecting millions of lives. But I think it would be unfair to expect any decisive action from the central government because in the past we have seen that the Honorable Supreme Court has rapped them for not being concerned about tackling this problem, for cutting 1,670 trees in an eco-sensitive zone in Delhi, for not calling any meeting of the North India states to make a comprehensive roadmap and deal with this problem, and for not providing incentives to the farmers of Punjab, which the Supreme Court has time and again asked to look at the proposal which was given by the Punjab government. It has been denied recently.
All right.
So they are not concerned.
Okay.
And if it's just a Delhi problem, then why is it that their own central agency, CPCB, says that the most polluted cities of the world are in India? Why is it that the World Air Quality Report says that 83 cities...
And the moment we say, that's just the point, it's a problem which affects India, many states, millions of people across the Indo-Gangetic Plain. The satellite images showed this smog today descending into the Arabian Sea as well. But Nioma Gupta, please respond. We are in a crisis. It's not BJP versus AAP. It's not Haryana versus Punjab. It is about saving lives. What are you going to do?
Absolutely, I agree with you. You know, every time Aam Aadmi Party is against the pact, they start the blame game. And this is not the sentiment to keep in mind. Today's Children's Day. And the children have been instructed to work, you know, to sit at home. So I think everybody needs to take this very, very seriously. A couple of points which I'd like to highlight here. Instead of asking constantly, what is the central government done? What is that? You're in power in Delhi. Every local authority is under you. You've been there for 10 years. Your manifesto have non-stop envisaged how much you're going to do for pollution. So keep a promise you can honor. Small steps which they've taken, for example, I'm just going to go into a little bit of detail when it comes to like a small smog tower, which was inaugurated in lieu of getting rid of the pollution in CP. About 19 crores was spent on it and about 5 is abandoned, despite the DPCC's documentation clearly showing that they had warned you against its ineffectiveness. When it comes to the real, I'm just going on the scientific part of it, of the steps which were taken. When it comes to the real-time source apportionment study, you spent once again, you know, like the DPCC had told you, this study was not going to be supported by scientific data. The whole persistency was taken into account. You're odd even. There are studies like the Boston studies which show constantly it's ineffective. The Aam Aadmi Party spokesperson spoke about the green cover. You know, the biggest claim which is repetitively made is that they will increase the green cover in Delhi. In reality, actually, sir, the forest cover in Delhi was reduced by 0.44 square kilometers from 2019 when it was 195.44 around 2021. This is the data from the latest Indian State of Forest report, which I'm reading out to you. There is a huge difference between planting trees and creating a forest area. You had inherited the forest belt. What did you do about it? We all need to understand, speaking of Delhi, Delhi's green cover is very unevenly distributed because in South Delhi, and it's about 34%. Northwest Delhi, it's about 4%. And West Delhi is about 5.3%. This disproportionate unevenness causes more attraction to pollution and things like that. You can do small steps like, you know, clean up the road dust, the solid waste. I mean, there are 11,000 tons of solid waste generated, only 25% is not processed. This unprocessed garbage adds so much to pollution. I'm going to just ask you for one more minute. I just want to highlight when it comes to this center. I have constantly said it on the debate. In fact, I've had a debate with this gentleman before. NCAP funds from 2019 to 2024 were given 38 crores, 10.77 was spent. Only they can tell us why. Crop residue management, enacting of GRAP, building roadways, Dwarka expressways, enacting the FAME scheme, giving EV permits, exemptions, I mean, emission standards for thermal power station compliances. The central government did all this. Please try and understand that the center can only formulate general policy and nudge the states in the correct direction, where they need to take over in micro-level management, district by district, all this.
Okay.
But the problem here is when it comes to the state government, is that they want center to handle everything, infrastructure, give funds, and handle implementation. Why are you in power there? Over here, we are in a situation of emergency. Just a couple of days back, Mr. Gopal Rai made a statement.
Anmol, I will come to you. Yeah.
GRAP doesn't need to be implemented, right? Because the situation is not hazardous. 48 hours later, we are in a situation of hazard. If GRAP 3 is being implemented, tell us the relative steps and the effectiveness of that steps. Over here, we are not here to have a tutu meme. We are here for the constructive, positive change of the air we are breathing. After listening to all these doctors, I have goosebumps. I don't know why I'm not wearing a mask and debating.
Anmol, go ahead. Respond.
Vishnuji, it was in 2019 when the Honorable Supreme Court said that, and the panelist from BJP, she's also an advocate, so she might be aware of this. The Honorable Supreme Court said that they will hold each and everyone accountable and they'll take action against the ones who are responsible for this rising pollution level. At that time, the central government said that this CAQM must be given the responsibility, which is Commission of Air Quality and Management, which has the responsibility of looking after the air quality of the whole North India region. But unfortunately, in 2024, when the Honorable Supreme Court again heard this matter, they found that since last 4 years, not a single direction passed by the Honorable Supreme Court was complied. Even the meetings were not called. Only 2 meetings were called in an year. So this is how much concern the the BJP-led central government has for this rising pollution. And she talked about smog tower. The smog tower, which is maintained by the central government in Anand Vihar, is non-functional since last 3 years. But every time they point out the smog tower, which is in CP, which we have already mentioned in the affidavit before the Honorable Supreme Court, that it has a lifespan of 2 years and it has well been informed to the Honorable Supreme Court. Their own leader today admitted that the Punjab government, Mr. Shivraj Singh Chauhan, he admitted that the Punjab government has been successful in reducing the pollution from stubble burning by more than 40%. And today only, the Madhya Pradesh government, the Madhya Pradesh has surpassed Haryana and Punjab in stubble burning cases. More than 10,000 cases have been reported today. So we must look at not from a myopic point of view, but from a holistic point of view. Because this pollution problem, it's affecting all of us. Whether it's a BJP ruled state, whether it's an Aam Aadmi Party ruled state, whatever is in our purview, we are taking every action to tackle with this pollution, but we need a unified approach. We need a collaborative effort from all the state governments.
I think Nioma would agree with that. There's no two ways it has to be unified.
Absolutely. I've already said that at the
onset. Nioma, hold on a second. Hiren Jetwa wanted to come in. Go ahead, Dr. Jetwa. Yes.
Pardon me, but sir, it's not true that the fires have gone down over Punjab or even Haryana. That's not true. Because
the central government data says so.
No. Okay. So let me just tell you, we use this afternoon satellite overpass time data from NASA satellites, SOMI, NPP and EQUA. Okay. They overpass the region around 1:30 to 2 p.m. But somehow, for some reason, farmers have learned that they can avoid, they can bypass that satellite overpass time. And they can burn the crop residue in the late afternoon. And that is confirmed by the South Korean geostationary satellite that the majority of fires are occurring after 2 p.m. Once the NASA satellites overpasses the region, it has gone and there is no surveillance. But it cannot be, the fires cannot be hidden from the geostationary satellite, which takes the snapshot of the region every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. And the total aerosol loading or the pollution loading, I looked at the data today morning. Actually, during the last 1 to 2 weeks, the pollution load has reached to the highest level that we haven't seen in the last one decade, more than one decade. So this is not true that the fires have gone down. Yes, it has gone down around certain time period between 12 to 2 p.m. But if you look at the geostationary images, you will see a plenty of fires after 2 p.m. and actually speaking around 4 to 4:30 p.m. Local time there.
Anmol, I know you want to come in. I'll let you come in a moment. But Hiren, I had one more question because you're making a very, very strong statement over here. You're basically saying that, you know, it depends on the satellite that you're actually observing. We rely on NASA Worldview. This is publicly available. But but farmers on the ground are available about are aware of when the satellite makes a pass, and therefore it usually makes a pass at about 1:30 in the afternoon over the Indian subcontinent, and after that the stubble burning starts. Now, how long do these fires typically last, Hiren? If they do start,
those typically, if you look at a geostationary satellite, those data which are sensitive to this thermal signal produced by those fires, they last for a few hours.
Okay.
So they start like around 3
right.
p.m.
So what you're basically saying is the fires take place after 2 p.m. and the fires end in a few hours. By the time the next satellite pass of the NASA satellites come, they aren't visible as much, right?
Yes.
And this is you've been observing this trend for how long?
It just lasts for the few hours. So
got it.
So even there is a nighttime overpass there, but in the nighttime, like around 2:30. In the night. So I don't think so. The farmers are burning that much during the night time. It's the late afternoon and the evening. And we have very solid concrete evidence from the geostationary satellite, which no one can doubt. It's a measurement. It's a data that we are seeing. So fires are not going down, actually.
But Hiren Jethwa is, you know, he's with the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. He's affiliated with universities. He's among the foremost specialists in aerosol activity around the world. He observes this and studies this and writes about this for a living, right? He's come on record to make these statements. How would you respond?
Mr. Hiren, the matter is being monitored by the Honorable Supreme Court, and it's the central government Indian Agriculture Research Institute data. Which says that the number of stubble burning incidents in last 3 years in Punjab has reduced by more than 50%. And in last year, it has come down significantly by more than 77%. And today itself, they have published another data, and it's also the CPC, the Central Pollution Control Board. Their data also says so. And
in past three months, we all use all the agencies named that you have named there in India, and we here at NASA, we are basically, till this year, we were using this afternoon satellite over pastime data to analyze the fire pattern and to look at the long-term trends. Yes, but this year only,
you would agree that the adjoining states of Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, and Haryana, the stubble burning incidents have increased significantly by more than 77%.
That's
because
true.
It's the same study with CISO.
Anmol, half a second. Go ahead, Hiren. Yes.
Particularly in Madhya Pradesh, we have seen the increase in the fire incidences. Yes. In Haryana, it's not that much. It's more or less on the same level if you compare with the previous years. But the Madhya Pradesh is showing a lot of fire activities, and we can also see this impact of this fire activities in Madhya Pradesh, in Gujarat and Maharashtra. You see this huge blanket of the smoke, and also over Arabian Sea. And if you look at even the satellite images further, in last 10 days or so, the smoke from Punjab, from Madhya Pradesh, actually the smoke layer reached to the Eastern Africa. If you look at those satellite images very carefully day by day, it has reached to the eastern coast of Somalia in Africa. It's all over Arabian Sea. So yes, I agree that there are other states too which follow this traditional crop burning practice, but the Punjab is leading, not even Haryana. Haryana is still keeping very low.
Hiren, are you in a position to, in a finite period of time, publish or tweet out these satellite images that you talk about, which actually show this burning at a particular time?
Yes, I have already posted some satellite images on X platform, formerly Twitter, which is basically the South Korean geostationary satellite with a particular wavelength, 3.8 micron, which is very sensitive to this thermal signal produced by the fires. And it shows, if you just go through that animation, you will see there is a sudden rise in that signal after 2 p.m. And it lasts till like 6 to 7 p.m. in the evening. So there is no doubt that...
These are fairly shocking allegations, not allegations, statements by...
I don't have a single doubt that the fires are either at the same level as seen in the previous years or has increased.
Okay.
There is no... I'm talking about totality of fire.
I understand.
Okay, not
that.
Just the...
I understand. Nyoma, a quick reaction to you on the points mentioned by Hiren Jethwa before I go back to Pallavi.
On the basis of the data he's given, I'd like to add something that while the number of stubble burning cases may have decreased in Punjab, the actual burnt area of the paddy has risen by 26% from 2022. So there's a bit of the lacuna of the number of fires and the paddy. Perhaps he seems to know his stuff. So he can cross-check all this data. But it's also about the area, no? It's not just about the number of fires. So if he can cross-check that, it'll be appreciated.
Would you have a response to that question, Hiren?
Yes, I have looked at the burned area too. Not of this year, because this year data is still not out. But the number of fires since 2022 has decreased. So I just had these numbers I printed out today morning. So fires this year so far till November 14th is 19% of the levels seen in 2022 and 35% of levels seen in the 2024. So this, of course, there's a drastic drop around this 1:30 p.m. time. But if you look at the last 3 years of burned area data, it shows there is no such decrease in the burned area.
Okay. Look,
there is no decrease. And I'm sure once we have the data for this year, within a month or two, we will see that the burned area is not going down, basically. So I mean, yes, the farmers can hide these fires from this 1:30 overpass time. But if you look at the PM2.5 data, look at the pollution load over the whole IGP region, look at the geostationary satellite data and the burned area product, all of them are pointing us to the one point that the fires are still present, maybe it's increasing. And that's a big elephant sitting in the room. We're talking about the smoke tower and that's some, small fixes. But those are not going to work unless and until we address this very big seasonal problem of the crop burning in that region. There is no way. Otherwise, year by year, we discuss the same thing here and we end up nowhere, actually. And there is no this year only I found out that the fire patterns has shifted to the late afternoon. But in the last 2 years, I was under the impression that, well, yes, fires are going down. There must be some action taking place on the ground. But no, I was under a delusion.
Sure.
It is not. The fires
Hiren, I'm interrupting you. Unfortunately, I just have run out of time on this. But
sure.
It would be great if you can publish snapshots on Twitter of what NASA shows at a certain time and what takes place a few hours after that, so that we get a clear idea of when these fires are taking place. And if you have this data over the last couple of weeks, if that is out, then there is visual correlation of what you're saying with what you're observing, right? So that we would welcome.
Yeah.
We'll leave it over there, but thank you all very much for being with us. It's an issue which affects not one state or two states. It affects millions of people across our country.